Save big money at Menards and stock up on your favorite Procter & Gamble products. We carry quality products from brands you can trust, like Dawn, Tide, Bounty, and more. Keep your home clean and stocked with essentials like paper towels, toilet paper, dish soap, and more. Save big money on Procter & Gamble products now through February 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe. Now with good audio for real this time. We're serious about fixing this audio problem. And every time we fix it, it ends up being something different. But this time I think we're good.
I'm knocking on wood so hard right now.
I had to say it out loud, so I can't wait to see how this episode is screwed up.
Yep.
But until that happens, we are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today, continuing on with our asshole list. If somehow you have stumbled upon this show on a part 4 of 5, I think. First off, you have a very interesting way of listening to podcasts. Yeah. But in any event, I think we still want to accommodate you. We have covered many assholes in depth on this show, and we decided we wanted to rank them all from lowest to highest asshole. We are now at 19th on the list. We'll probably get to about 10 on this episode, ranking them with a score out of 50 based on 5 different categories out of 10: deception and fabrication, exploitation, harm, and legacy. When we add those numbers up, we get your asshole number and we tell you where you fall on the list. Chelsea and I have each ranked these people independently. We are going off my list, learning where Chelsea and an independent AI has placed these people in their ranking system.
We're totally separate, me and the AI.
Except when you're accidentally reading the wrong list.
Yep.
Okay, at number 19, breaking the top 20, we have Wilhelm Reich, season 2, episode 50.
He was a psychoanalyst turned pseudoscientist who promoted orgone energy. Oh yeah, I know who that is. And sold devices to harness it. His achievement was influencing fringe therapy and counterculture movements. His asshole factor lies in fabricating scientific claims, exploiting followers with useless devices, and misleading people about health, though his legacy persists in alternative therapy lore. And I will say, this is one of the episodes that I did brush up on during recordings, which you don't know how long it was. So I am fresh on Wilhelm Reich, even though I didn't immediately recognize.
And this is somebody, too, that I had to brush up on. I did it well before the break, but he was much lower on my list until I re-listened to that episode, and man, I forgot what an asshole this guy was.
Yeah, he was a total asshole.
Top notch. I probably still underestimated him in my numbers. He got an overall 34.
Oh, mine's at 37.
Okay.
We're in agreeance, pretty much.
I gave him a 7 for fabrication and deception, because he got arrested by the FDA for selling something that he knew was not medically tested, and seemed to lie about. Like, even he had Albert Einstein look at it and said, yeah, this thing doesn't do anything.
Yep. I had him at a straight 10 because there is nothing about that was legitimate.
I had really low vibes until I re-listened to that episode, and I forgot how crazy this guy went. To the point where if we ever make a joke about constantly doing math to show our sanity, this is the guy that we're referencing. Because he wrote a letter to his son that he has never been more sane because he is constantly doing math.
Oh, right.
He was constantly cheating on people, clearly, like, breaking laws all the time. He thought the government was out to get him. Like, it was so bizarre by the end.
Yeah.
For harm, I gave him a 3. I didn't actually think that he did that much harm. There was one quote in that episode that I loved. It was a professor from Oregon State or something like that, whose wife loved the orgone machine. He's like, I know it doesn't do anything, but it shuts her up for 4 hours. Yeah, there's some people who definitely took it for health matters that probably had detrimental health issues because of it. But I don't think he was forcing harm on people. It's hard to say. I probably should have put it higher.
Nah.
Grit was a 9. He's pretty damn high.
Yeah, I have 10.
And orgone energy is still used today, so I have that as a 7. It's not prominent, but it's still there.
The only thing that I would add, I agree with you on Harm. I actually have him higher than I think I would because, I mean, it's Orgone energy. Like, what the hell is he going to do with that from someone sitting in a chamber?
Yeah, that's that whole thing. If he was doing something that brought harm on them, I think it's different than, like, this benign thing that's more or less just a placebo.
Yeah. I mean, there is still harm because he's taking money who are from people. Some of them were desperate for a cure to what was ailing them. Yeah. Other than that, I think we are on the same page. That was just me ranking higher than I should have.
And we're weirdly somewhat on the same page as Copilot on this one. Wilhelm Reich is 35th on their list, but he got a 34.
So we're all in agreement on that one.
Right around the same spot. Yeah. Yeah. Chelsea, I think this one's going to be contentious. Next up on my list, Bill Moore.
Interesting.
Season 3, episodes 44, 46, 48, and 50. He got a deep dive.
Oh, yeah. Okay, why is he here?
Bill Moore co-authored the Roswell incident, which helped cement Roswell as the centerpiece of UFO mythology. His achievements were popularizing the crash narrative and shaping UFO discourse. His asshole moves were secretly cooperating with the government disinformation campaigns against Paul Benowitz, betraying the UFO community while profiting from books and notoriety. His saving grace for me that didn't put him any higher. Again, he's a 34, but I do think he's slightly more of an asshole than Reich, so that's where he's at there. He quit the UFO community. He did the 1989 MUFON conference and quit.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do it again.
You make a good point.
Overall, like I said, a 34. I gave him a 7 on deception and vibes, mostly because he knew he was being lied to, but he thought he could figure it out. And it's hard to tell when he was lying, but he definitely lied to Benowitz.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him a 5 for vibes. I don't get the worst vibes from him. Gave him an 8 for harm because of what he did to Benowitz. Gave him a 6 for grift, just because we know there's bigger grifters out there. And importantly, like I said, he quit the UFO community, but he got an 8 for legacy because a lot of what we see today with what the UFO community is shaped by Bill Moore.
When you put it that way, you know, he doesn't seem so diabolical, like he had this grand master plan. You just kind of get from him that he's just kind of an idiot that was used as a pawn, and he just kind of played the part. I ranked him a lot higher. I have him number 2 on my list, and I think that is mostly because of the deception. I gave him a 10 because of what he did, and that goes hand in hand with the legacy of it. He had a pretty big hand in what was going on, and he has a huge hand in the UFO lore that we still see today. So the reach is ongoing of what he had his hand in, and I think the grift was high as well. Now, harm I probably have actually higher than it should be. I have it at a 9, and I think I came to that mostly just because of, like I just said, it's still in the UFO lore that we see today. The people he was working with on, like, the Roswell and stuff like that, that's still something that's talked about today. Yeah, he was the one where the bodies were recovered at Roswell, right? Like 20 years later?
Yeah. Oh, there was so much. He's the original finder of the MJ-12 documents and, like, government archives.
Yeah, and so to me, and maybe that's why I ranked it so high, harm is, I think, depending on who you're looking at, it can be looked at in more than one way. I think I went so high on it just because of the harm that he did to the UFO community. He really discredited pretty much everyone and everything right there at the MUFON thing.
Because he was held to such high pristine within the community, and it suddenly just drops out of nowhere.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's number 2 on mine. Vibes, though, now that I look back, like, he does just have, like, idiot vibes.
And I actually did learn, like, apparently he was just a school teacher before he got into the UFO community. You get that kind of vibes from him, don't you? Just, like, he's a Bill Moore, the name.
Yeah. And you just wonder, like, did he go back to teaching? I wonder what he's up to today. Huh.
I think he's dead. I'm pretty sure, actually, we talked about that. I can't remember. That's not one I had to go back to listen to.
He's pretty memorable.
Yeah.
For me. So I had him at a 2. What does AI have him at?
Sorry, and what's that give him as a score?
Oh, I had him at 47.
Bill Moore for Copilot, they have him at a 38. 8s and 7s across the board. That puts him 20th on their list.
I would address that. I'd probably take him down a vibe or two, maybe a harm notch down. So maybe I'd put him... He's still high up on my list.
And I do have their description. So Moore's deception and vibes are high due to his betrayal of the UFO community while profiting from Roswell. His grift is solid with books and appearances, and his harm comes from spreading falsehoods. He's held back by a weaker legacy, remembered more for scandals than enduring influence. That's a fair point, but
that's a very
at the same
point.
Time, a lot of the things that we do remember from the UFO community just don't have his name attached to them.
Yeah, he has some books that are still referred back to today that people use. They might not use it as a source, but the idea itself.
And if you have Roswell believing people around you, it's because of Bill Moore.
And they're not going to remember that it's Bill Moore. They're not going to know that that's where the idea comes from, but they know the idea.
Yeah. Next up on my list, Chelsea, John Lear, season 4, episodes 42 and 44.
I have John Lear. Oh no, I need to read them. I always get too excited to tell you my score of people. John Lear, son of the Learjet founder, became a prominent UFO conspiracy promoter in the 1980s. I assume it is, not the 198, and 1990s. His achievement was popularizing wild claims about secret bases, alien treaties, and government cover-ups. His asshole factor comes from fabricating stories, monetizing lectures, and spreading misinformation that confused and misled UFO communities.
John Lear is tied at 34, but I do have this in the distinct order of how I felt they should fall. John Lear gets high deception and fabrication just because of what he was doing behind the scenes and how many people he's attached to. I don't get bad vibes from him, although he does have that like fake millionaire playboy persona to him. I think he did pretty substantial harm, and in fact, he's the last person to talk to Benowitz before he got checked into the mental asylum. He grifts hard, so I gave him an 8 for that. And overall, I do think he had a huge impact, a 9, on the legacy of the UFO community.
Yep.
Like, weirdly, he's attached to everybody in that time, whereas Bill Moore seemed to be doing his own thing. John Lear seemed to attach himself to everyone.
Yeah, I agree. All of these, like, I didn't know how to not give them a 10 for every, like, deception and fabrication and grift and legacy. All of these bigger assholes are all 10s for stuff like that for me. For some reason, I gave them a 7 for vibes. Yeah, I mean, that's really where we're differing. I have them pretty high in the deception, fabrication, grift, legacy.
Yeah, and I think that's always where the biggest differences are going to be, is in the vibes thing, because it is fully how do you feel about this whole thing?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he's close to Bill Moore on this, just because he has a pretty far reach now. It's just not, I don't know, for some reason, Bill Moore, his legacy just seems so much more grandiose to me than John Lear.
I don't know, maybe part of the legacy for me is like Jeremy Corbell lived with him for a while and like brags about it. So he's still shaping the community.
Forgot about that. He's probably one I could have used to listen on.
And he's the one who brought George Knapp into the UFO community too, because he was doing like basically Las Vegas crime stuff for a long time, and then John Lear was his first interview with John Lear. UFO.
Fuck, I forgot about all of that.
And he fully admits to lying about a ton of stuff, like writing fake documents all the time. Like, there was one quote, and it was on Bill Cooper, and he's like, Bill, you gotta stop saying that you got this document from the Navy. I wrote it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, he's an asshole. I stand by where I have him. He's 5th on my list.
Copilot has him at 25th on their list with a 36, 8s and 7s across the board. Mostly 7s. Yep. And it says, Lear scores high in deception and grift for wild UFO claims and monetization. His legacy is solid, influencing conspiracy lore. His vibes are middling, seen as abrasive, but not universally toxic. He's held back by moderate harm since his influence misled but didn't devastate.
Touche.
And I have no idea where this is going to fall on your list, Chelsea. Next up, I have Pinkertons, season 4, episode 2.
Their total ranked on mine is a 26.
Pinkertons is a detective agency which has become notorious for strike-breaking and anti-labor violence in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Their achievements were building one of the most powerful private security forces in history. Their asshole actions include deception, exploitation of workers, and direct harm through violence and intimidation, leaving a legacy of corporate coercion. And I think what made them score so high, I have them as a 35 overall. They have super bad vibes and legitimately bad harm. harm. Like, they've killed many people. They have left families destitute. They're still around doing the same thing. And, like, Pinkertons showed up as much as in the last 5 years at the door of somebody who got the wrong Magic the Gathering cards mailed to them. To basically intimidate... Yeah, don't you remember that? Like, somebody got Magic the Gathering cards that weren't supposed to be released yet, and they did a YouTube video on them, and Wizards of the Coast hired Pinkertons to go intimidate them to take down the video.
This is another one I could have used to brush up on, but now that you say that, I remember. However, I did match with your vibes and harm. I have them up at 9 for vibes and 8 for harm. It was just everything else. And I guess I just put them at Legacy as at a 4 because I don't really remember them. I remember they're bad dudes, though. I do remember that.
I do have them as a 10 on Legacy because labor laws and rights across North America are where they are because of Pinkertons.
Is it? Was it? I thought they were investigators. I guess I need...
Well, they are, but they're strike breakers.
I think I'm going to go back and re-listen to this episode, even though I've already ranked them as this.
I think we're going to have a lot of varying views on Legacy moving forward on my list, because a lot of where we're at now got to where they are because of such high Legacy.
Interesting.
Copilot has Pinkertons as... 7th on their list with a 42.
Wow.
They got 9s and 8s across the board.
Wow. Okay.
I can't remember if I said it. They scored a 35 overall for me.
Who knows? I might be in agreement with everyone else once I finish that episode. Re-listen.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
Next up, at number 15 on the list, I have HPB, Helena Blavatsky, Season 1, Episode 16.
Blavatsky co-founded the Theosophical Society and authored The Secret Doctrine, blending Eastern mysticism with fabricated cosmology. Her achievement was creating one of the most influential occult movements of the 19th century. Her asshole actions include fabricating Mahatma letters, exploiting followers, and embedding racialized esoteric hierarchies into her teachings, leaving a problematic legacy.
She scored fairly consistently for me. I do think she lied a ton. I gave her a 9 for deception and fabrication. 7 for vibes. Probably would have been higher had this not been like the thing of the day. Like, her mysticism is what was big in the late 1800s.
Plus she has ties to, what's it called? The society that...
Theosophy.
Not Theosophy, the one that the Nazis really liked. And you saw that in her writings through the episode as well with the racialized.
I should probably have gone back and listened to that one. All I remember is I was really drunk near the end of that episode.
You know, it's
so funny.
But
it might not
be
noticeable because I did a good job editing.
It's so funny, though, when you look back on some of the stuff, what sticks in your mind and what doesn't. HPB is pretty clear to me. I spent a lot of time researching that one. Great episode. She's ranked 39th on mine. Also scoring pretty high on deception and fabrication, as well as legacy. Grift, very high. Harm, I do have higher on her as well because it inspired breakoffs of her teachings into what inspired. It would have been Himmler, I think, based on my Behind the Bastards listenings.
Yeah, I think he was the one who was big into the occult.
Big into it, yeah, which inspired some stuff. She's pretty high up on mine. Well, she's 13th on mine.
So right around the same spot. I have her 15th with a 36. Once again, she got an 8 on Legacy. It might even be higher. It's weird that Theosophy groups are still around.
I know, right?
Still, just because it's not the fringe of the day that I think holds it back.
I think you're right.
Wow, right around the same spot. HPB is 9th on Copilot's list with a 98789. All right, next up is John Hutchison of the Hutchison Effect, Season 5, episode 28.
Yeah, we just did him. Oh, I have him pretty low, actually. He has a score on mine of 25.
And I think it might be because it's local lore that made me give him a little bit higher score. So Hutchison gained notoriety for the Hutchison effect, a supposed set of anomalous physics phenomena. His achievement was capturing media attention and inspiring fringe science enthusiasts. His asshole actions include staging demonstrations that couldn't be replicated, misleading audiences, and monetizing pseudoscience through devices and appearances. And yes, he might be a little mundane.
He is pretty mundane.
But I get such weird vibes from him.
Oh yeah, same.
He's one of the few 10 out of 10 vibes I gave. Like, just such a weird guy. Picking fights with the local municipality and like the Army of Canada. Like, super weird. 8 on deception and fabrication, because he's straight up making all of it up. 6 on harm, and 10 on legacy, 4 on grift. And I gave him such a high legacy because so many times we look at a story, people try to use the Hutchison effect to explain it away.
That's true. I didn't think of it that way. I gave him lower.
Overall, like, completely a non-memorable person.
That's why I gave him low on legacy.
I can fully agree with a low legacy, but the Hutchison effect's gonna live on a long time, unfortunately.
That's true. And it's kind of like what we were just talking about with Bill Moore. It's people use it to back something up or where they know it from, but they have no idea where it's
And it's not his name. They're not using him to back it up, but they're using the Hutchison effect.
Like, but they have no idea the details behind it or where it's come from or anything like that. Interesting.
Copilot has him real low on their list. Sorry, what was your overall score?
25.
Yeah, I think you did say it, 25. I have a 38. So he's 37. Really, he's pretty high up there. 25. Yeah. Copilot seems to agree more with you. He's 38th on their list with a 33. 86676.
I'm also enjoying how much our ranking systems differ.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing about all these individuals. They are very different, and everybody gets a different thing from them.
Yeah.
Number 13 on my list is Romana Dedula, Season 4, Episode 16, and many fringy minis in between.
She's 11 on mine.
Not that far off.
No, not at all. She's ranked on mine 39 is my total.
And I have her as a 38, so we are not that far. Romana Dedula declared herself the Queen of Canada, issuing fake decrees and soliciting money from followers. Her achievement was briefly gaining notoriety in QAnon-adjacent circles. Her asshole actions are extreme, fabricating authority, exploiting vulnerable people financially, and causing real-world harm through manipulation and false promises. She scored very high for me on vibes and deception and fabrication, because everything is so made up, and she's issuing money for her followers to use but not use. They gotta wait for her to tell them.
I have her high on everything pretty much, and then legacy, I tanked her.
I gave her a 4 on legacy. Probably could have been lower too. Harm was an 8. The people she is harming, it's fairly substantial, but it's an incredibly small group.
Yeah, I have her 10, deception, vibes 8, harm 8, grift 10, legacy 3.
And I gave her a 7 on grift because they have to live out of that RV. I guess they got technically given like an abandoned school, but like, she's not living high off of the money she's making off of this.
She's just not doing that good of a job, so you ranked her a little lower.
Basically.
Okay, I can get behind that.
If she would have got somebody rich to follow her, then yes, full 10. Like, she's trying to grift so hard. And if anybody ever accepts her money as currency, then yes, 10, hard. But until that day, she's not quite there yet.
Okay, I think we're in agreement on Romana Dedula.
Also, I think our only dip into the QAnon group so far.
Well, I guess
I don't think they've come up anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Copilot has put Romana at number 3 on its list.
Oh, shit.
9 for deception, 10 for vibes, 10 for harm, 8 grift, 7 for legacy. So a 44 overall.
Nice.
I can't dispute you, Copilot. Nope. That is a reasonable assertion, but didn't give me a description of why. That's okay. You did your part.
Yeah, we'll forgive him.
Now, this one, I did re-listen to this episode, but I still can't quite remember why I put this so high, Chelsea. At number 12, I have Preston Nichols, season 2, episode 46, about Montauk.
Oh, I have him high. He's on 6 on mine. That seems like a mistake. Nichols co-authored the Montauk Project book, which claims secret government experiments in time travel, mind control, and alien technology. His achievement was creating a sprawling mythos that inspired pulp culture, including Stranger Things. His asshole actions include fabricating elaborate tales, monetizing them through books and appearances, and misleading audiences into believing his stories were factual accounts of government abuse.
Yes, and now I'm remembering it. Chelsea, you did this episode. He started his book off with, "Not all of these facts are true. A lot of them are what we call gray facts." Which we're just going to move forward with. And you can either read this as serious or a science fiction book. Either one's fine.
Yeah, I totally remember the gray.
The gray facts, yeah.
The gray facts. Because he couldn't prove any of them.
Yeah. And he barely had anybody giving him stories to, like, write the book either. It was super weird.
That is so funny. I forgot about that.
That is somebody who got reassessed when I re-listened to that episode now that I'm remembering it. He got a 9 for deception and fabrication for that whole purpose from me. A 9 for vibes. Yeah. 5 for harm, because not a lot of negative impact has come from the Montauk underground base. 7 for grift, because, like, he straight up wrote that book specifically just to sell it.
Yeah.
Not because you want to get info out there. And 8 for legacy, because Montauk is still talked about today. Even as it said in that description. Stranger Things is based off the story of Montauk.
Montauk within everything I think is fairly high. I don't know if it's just me as far as legacy goes, but I mean, look at Stranger Things.
But it's no Area 51. It's up there, but it's no Area 51. That's why it's an 8.
That's true. The only thing I would change, I do think he needs to come down. And see, I do have a problem with deception and fabrication, because if I look through all my stuff, I rate most people who are assholes very high on the deception and fabrication, which skews my whole total anyway. I would probably take harm down a few pegs. I have it at 7. Otherwise, I think we're pretty on par. I have legacy 1 higher than you. I think harm for me is a little bit higher than I think it needs to be, because again, I don't know that he harmed anybody per se with this, other than selling books and appearances and stuff.
Yeah, it's one of the, like, people don't go to Montauk to see the base either.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Area 51 has people go to it.
Yeah. In the end, if I were to go see a lecture on something like this, first of all, you're gonna have, is it true, was it not, when you go in there, right? If I were to find out it's totally not true, I wouldn't be mad that I spent $30 and bought a book. It's not like he was threatening my family or anything, you know?
Yeah. Like, or, you know, making you come to a $10,000 a night UFO view.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, foreshadowing.
I think I would bring him down some pegs on reassessment of that. But still an asshole.
I have him as a 38 overall. High, not quite at that, like, legacy level. And it's a name you don't remember. Bill Moore, even with the boring name, people will remember him. I don't think people remember Preston Nichols. But
no.
Montauk is
Montauk, big. Yes. I don't know that many people would know Bill Moore, though, I wonder.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say. That's what I was just about to say. Hard to say. Anyhow. Who's next?
Well, I just wanted to say Copilot has him at a 39, but that puts him 19th overall in their list. 8s and 7 across the board, except for Deception and Fabrication, where he scored a 9.
I love how our scoring systems are so different. You can just assume from here on out that my deception and fabrication all 10s.
See, I still have a lot of variation in mind. I think this is where we're going to cut the list off for the episode, is this one here. Just missing out on the top 10 at number 11 for me. A very recent one, so we can probably talk a lot about this. Rick Dyer, season 5, episode 72.
Oh, right. I was like, who is he?
Dyer is infamous in the Bigfoot world for repeatedly staging hoaxes, including fake carcasses that he charged people to see. His achievement was briefly fooling media outlets and drawing crowds with his stunts. His asshole actions are serial. Fabricating evidence, exploiting believers financially, and undermining genuine research with repeated scams.
He's top 10 for me.
I gave him a 38 overall, and the only thing that is holding him back, like, he got 9s and 8s across the board for me. 9 in deception, 8 in vibes, 9 in grift, 8 in legacy. He's completely destroyed anybody who claims to have anything with regards to Bigfoot. Anybody coming forward from here on out is ruined by Rick Dyer. But he didn't do that much harm.
I'm completely on board with all of that. He's at a 41 for me. Legacy, I have him on the lower end because I wouldn't know him if you said the name outside of, you know, having this episode. Though I do know him by Bigfoot and the freezer guy. So maybe he would be a little bit hot. I don't know.
Weirdly, that this episode finishes off on what we were discussing in the Fringy Mini.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. And the other thing I was going to say is it's funny that he's back around in the Bigfoot community again, though.
At least he wants to be. Who knows what's actually going to happen. But yeah, it's hard to say he did that much harm. Unless you're talking about, like, to the UFO community. I agree. But I think that falls under legacy. I think when you're talking about harm to the Bigfoot community overall, that's falling under legacy. He didn't actually harm anyone. Except that guy who got fired from the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
Because he helped him fake a Bigfoot.
I do not want anyone who helped fake a Bigfoot in the police department. I'm in agreement with all of that. Total asshole.
Copilot is kind of right in between us. So it has him at 13th overall with a 40. Splitting the hairs between us.
Yeah.
The only thing holding him back is legacy on their list. 9s and 8s across the board outside of that where he got a 6.
That's what I put him at for legacy as well.
Interesting. I think he's just harmed the Bigfoot community so much that, like, it can't be that low.
No, I think you're right. Absolutely. He just, if I think UFO, he's not top of mind. And I would say that Melba Ketchum, I don't know that she would do more for legacy if I think about it that way. Where is she? I gave her a 6.
She's lower on my list.
I gave her a 6 as well.
Okay, yeah. What did I have her down? Because we've already gone past her. I gave her a 2. She's going to be forgotten. I guess technically her signed paper is going to be cited a lot, though.
Yeah, I think I'm good with the 6 for legacy. Though, if you refer to him as Bigfoot and the freezer guy, I would maybe give him a higher legacy, which that's what he's known.
Although, I don't think technically he's my highest Bigfoot asshole on this list. Although that might be questionable whether or not you consider my top guy in that category a Bigfoot asshole, per se.
I like where this is going.
But we got some time to get to there.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I think that's where we're cutting this one. We're going into the top 10. We're going to see some variation, but I think we're going to have a lot of agreement that these people are definitely assholes.
I wonder if we're going to agree on number 1. I bet we do.
I don't think we are. I think we're going to be close, but I don't think we do.
That's disappointing. Okay. We'll see next week, I guess.
Yeah. I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.